Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day you've given us. And you provide the sunshine, you provide the rain. And Lord, we thank you for what you have brought into our lives, and thank you for caring for us. And most of all, thank you for giving your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. That as we struggle with our sinful lives here, we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your salvation that comes through the cross. And Lord, we ask now that you will just be with us as we celebrate together your victory that comes in Jesus Christ. And as we share together how we can share with others the blessings that we have received through Christ. And we thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, just a quick review. We've been going through the conversion triangle. As a pastor over 50-some years, in my file, there was this thing that I thought, I'm going to use that. And so we've been going through it. So really, we were talking this week, and someone struggled with the fact that they did not have a lot of close relationships with non-believers. And so that is important for us, that we learn to have relationships with those that know not Christ. For God said that we are here to be a witness. We are here to be one that shares the gospel. And so sometimes, once we receive Christ, we come to a point that this is our family, and this is the only one we're going to talk to, okay? And so our best friends are our Christian friends, and we have very little other ones. So what you need, first of all, you need to... Does this go this way? Okay. First of all, you need to find some way of making them aware of who you are. And that comes through a testimony, your story, something that comes up, or maybe even a logo, something that you have on your lapel or on your car or whatever it may be that says, so you go to church or something to that effect. And then once they become aware of who you are, the question is, are they going to be receptive to who you are? And so that is the next step. And so how do they become receptive? There's a problem, and one of those problems is that sometimes they've never known a Christian, and sometimes they do know a Christian, if you know what I mean by that, and it becomes a problem in sharing the gospel with them. But there is one solution to all of that, and that is to be like Christ, and that is to serve. He came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life for us, okay? And so we have a couple of things that move on from that point. There is the pictured word. There is the proclaimed word. The pictured word is your life. The proclaimed word is your teaching and sharing God's word through the Bible. And that body relationship is important for our church, for small groups, and so that's where you encourage them into church, into small groups, etc. That's on the body side. But all during that time, there will be Bible content. In other words, you can't go to a Bible study or to a group study without having something be said about the Bible that you're going to discuss. And so there's that sharing back and forth. And so if I were to point it this way, there's arrows that are going back and forth between one and one, and through the share groups and Bible discussions, and then also the church worship and our Sunday school class, etc. And right now we're going to stop there, and that's where we're going to end today, because we're going to discuss how that period of time takes place. And so during that time of back and forth, there's going to be a lot of questions. Is the Bible true? We talked about that. Is there truly a God? We talked about that. Is Christ who he says he is? Is Jesus who he says he is? If God is who he is, why is there so much suffering in the world? You know, we've been going through that, and that's part of those arrows that go back and forth, back and forth. And next week, Rob's going to be talking about science. Doesn't science tell us that the Bible is not true? Okay, you have to be here next week for that. and we're going to have a great time. Okay, today we are going to continue our study in how to share the gospel, how to share the message of Jesus Christ, and we've got a guest with us, missionaries that our church supports, John and Esther Petron, and they're from Romania. And several years ago, my wife Kathy and I were able to visit them and go into their area, and I remember taking some pictures, not only with them in their location there, but as I drove through the Romanian side, I'd come to these fields just out in the middle of nowhere, and here's a big field of grain or something, and in the corner was a little box and the Virgin Mary sitting in it in the corner of the field. And there's a lot of crossroads all over the place, and they would have these in the corners of their fields. And I thought, that's really interesting, because the Western mind doesn't look at that way. And so the question that you have is, in our Western mind, as we have so many immigrants that are moving to our area, how do we share the gospel message with our Western mind to another culture and to another group of individuals that have difference of belief? And John is the person who's going to share all that with us. Okay, John, God bless you, bud. And just you can give it back to me when you get through.
Amen. Amen. Hello, everyone. It is a privilege to be with you. And it's one thing to write letters, but it's another thing to face you and to express our gratitude and say thank you for your faithfulness and for enabling us to serve the Lord over all these years. My wife and I are native of Romania. Our parents fled communism in the early 70s. And we came, by God's grace, we came to this wonderful and beautiful, the most beautiful nation, country on earth, yeah? And after nearly 20 years, communism collapsed. And then we've realized that, knowing the language and the culture, it will be wise for us to go back and share Christ with Romanian people, knowing the language and the culture. By trade, I am a tool and die maker. I'm a machinist. And I've worked for nearly 20 years here in the States. And when I look back, it is so important, and we will see a little bit later on, how important it is to be led by the Holy Spirit in the decision-making and steps that we, either in a family, as believers, in our relationship with each other. By God's grace, we've been serving in Romania for the more than over 25 years. And we've seen changes, and we've seen how the Lord fulfills the Scripture. And it's so important for us as believers to be faithful. You know, life is so short, and you know that. This is just a preparation for what's to come, you know. So only what we do for Christ will last anyway. I'm here with my wonderful wife. We've celebrated over 41 years of marriage. I'm still in love. And I hope you are. And it's good to be with you today here. Of course, when the lesson was introduced, it's interesting. You know, when you stay away from home, we call California our home, our children are here. When you stay away 6 years or so, 10 years, and you come back, you see some changes here. But when you're here, you don't realize. But when you stay away 6-7 years and you come back, you've seen some changes. And it's interesting, you know, for the last, we've been away because of this COVID stuff. We couldn't come back as we normally do every 4 years or so. So we stayed a little longer. When I came back, we've seen some changes, and I'm talking about not only economical and financial, but we've seen some spiritual changes. You know, we've looked at the churches, and it was just a disappointing to see the status of the churches, you know. Many of the churches are half size, you know. And you think, oh, what in the world is going on? Usually when there are crises and believers come closer and they seek God when problems and persecution and something like this happening. But not this time. So, you know, it was so discouraging. You see churches that are some kind of spiritual rheumatism. Some kind, no life, no enthusiasm, no passion on the life of the believers. You know, so I think that has to do with our, I think the crisis that we are going through. It's chaos, the war. If we look at Matthew 24, it is so clear that we are getting close. And, you know, I think we don't have much to go because the coming of the Lord, it's near. And this should be very imperative for us to rethink our life, our priorities, and our values, because we don't have much time left, you know. So, I think that when we speak of evangelism, we need to be very much aware of the fact that the responsibility of the church is dual. The responsibility of the church is one, numerical growth, evangelism, and spiritual growth and edification, discipleship. So these two has to happen. If in the church, the church is not growing at all, there is a problem. There is a problem in the area of evangelism. If the church is not growing spiritually, is a problem in the area of discipleship. These two has to go together, you know. So I think we need to be so careful assuming the responsibility that God is giving to us as the members of the body of Christ. Now, why is the church going down? And now, if you look across, you know, Christianity, it's not doing well. You know, when you look at what is happening overboard, even in the United States, something is going wrong. We are losing ground. This is a reality, and I believe that times like this, all this economical crisis, political crisis, social crisis, all of this contribute to a test. I think Christianity, it's put to test. Our spiritual maturity, it's put to test. Now we can see how genuine, how authentic our relationship with the Lord is. You know. So, one thing that we need to be reminded, I teach at a university and a theological seminary for the last 25 years in Europe. And it's interesting, the historical view of the church leadership and the historical and traditional view of serving. Well, when you look at the Catholicism and the Eastern Orthodox, because we are living in the Eastern Orthodox world, serving the Lord is assumed by the priest or the pastor. I mean, you hire the guy, and he is supposed to do the job. One or two or three, and then you hire them, and you pay them, and they're supposed to do the job. But that's not exactly what the Scripture teaches. A pastor or a leader or an elder or so, they are supposed to be the ones that are setting the strategy. There are the ones that are encouraging. There are the ones that are training, enabling others and encouraging others to serve. And I want to mention a passage in Scripture that I think it's not only misunderstood. I think people don't even read Scripture, and I think that is the problem. If people don't read the Scripture, we have no wisdom in how to lead our lives and how to fulfill our responsibility as children of God. If you remember in the book of First Peter, here, there is a truth about the priesthood of the believer. Not the priesthood of the priests. Not the priesthood of the pastors. The priesthood of the believers. And Peter calls us, we are holy priests. Read with me. It is in First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. This passage, it's not pointed to those that have went to the theological seminary. This passage is not pointed at those that has a degree or a master's or a or a bachelor's in theology. No, it's pointed out to each one of us, men, women, young and old. The responsibility for us is to make sure that you have the same verse here in verse 5, the same truth, 1 Peter 2:5. You also are living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So why isn't evangelism looked upon very seriously by the believer? The responsibility is ours as the members of the body of Christ. Because I don't think that this truth about the priesthood of the believer, it's understood. Yeah. If we would understand that we have a responsibility for us to share Christ, spiritual sacrifices. And you know, if you look at verse 9, this is wonderful. We are called, we are royal priesthood. Not just any kind of priesthood. Not a Baptist priesthood, not a Catholic, not an Eastern, not a Lutheran, no. We are royal priesthood. And we are called to proclaim the excellencies of Him. Yeah. So if this is not done, it is because we don't take it seriously. Our responsibility, it is to come to church, to get charged up, to be encouraged, to be motivated. The minute we are out, we have a responsibility. And I'll tell you, I don't know if you remember D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody made a commitment, and he said, you know, I don't want one day to pass without sharing Christ to somebody. And you know, he shared it one time that he forgot. So he was in his pajamas. So at night he got up, he took some clothes on, and he went right on the street to share, to find someone to share Jesus Christ. Yeah. So I think that once we understand the responsibility that we have, that Christ is given to us, then I would say that the picture will change. Now, as far as evangelism, it's interesting. I grew up in communism. And you know, when you don't have freedom, it's awful. But when you get the taste of freedom, you get used to it. And I think this is what is happening here. We got so used to it, we are so free, we have time, and so forth. But I tell you, even in Romania, evangelism, and I've been involved in evangelism for all these years, and in the church that I pastor, as a senior pastor, I've seen almost 100 came to Christ in 1 year. We have 4 baptisms of 20-some in 1 year alone. You know, last year, 50 people came to know Christ directly through our ministry, directly. So I would say that if we are aware of the fact that Satan has a dual plan in his demonic, satanic wisdom, he has a dual plan to destroy the church or the family. If he cannot destroy the family, the husband and the wife and children, if he can't destroy, he's going to hit it and he's going to try. And if he can't do it, he's going to hit the church, because the church is a spiritual family, the eternal family. So this is what Satan is going to try to do. And I think to some extent, as we see in the last few years, he's been succeeding. And, you know, we need to be on guard. Now, if you have this piece of paper right in front of you here, and I put some verses here that I consider, it's not on the screen, but you have it in front of you. And the first verse that I put, it's Acts 1:8. You shall receive power. You shall receive power, and the Holy Spirit has come to you. There is the ministry of evangelism is done through the power of the Holy Spirit. And God has given us power not to do whatever we want to do with His power. No. We don't manipulate God's power. So the Holy Spirit was given to us to accomplish His will. You shall receive power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. So therefore, if we speak of evangelism, and I'm sure you probably touched on the subjects, you know, there is so much talk about the Holy Spirit, you know, sometimes you get sick of it, because they speak things that don't even come from Scripture when it comes to the leading of the Spirit, when it comes to the wisdom of the Spirit, when it comes to the power of the Spirit of God. So when you have the Spirit of God, you feel the presence of God in leading, in actions, in priorities. We're going to see a little bit later on. So we have that power. Now, if we are aware of that power, but the power is given us for us to be, was given to us to be His witnesses. And the witnesses, and if you see it here now, of course, I am on a mission field. But according to the verse here in Acts 1:8, the witnessing starts in Jerusalem. Then it says Judea, Samaria, and to the remotest part of the world. So, when it comes to evangelism and ministry and missions, it has to start here at Sun River. It has to start geographically. The responsibility of the members of the body of Christ to start here at home first. You know, to make a difference in our community, colleagues, friends. Now, in Romania, evangelism is very important. Two services. Churches have two services, in the morning and in the evening. In the morning, services are for the church edification of the believers, teaching, doctrine, theology, and so forth. Edification of the believers, encouraging the believers to be faithful. The evening services are evangelistic in nature, always. And it's harvest time. I've been at about 20 or so evangelistic, old-fashioned style. The believers are trained to invite friends, colleagues, unsaved relatives to the evening services. Because the evening services are evangelistically in nature and messages. Good music. Wonderful music, because people love music. Romania is the only nation in the Eastern Bloc that has Latin background. We have Ukraine, we have Russia, we have Bulgaria, Serbia. All of this are Slavic in nature. Poland and so forth. Romania is the only Latin nation, very approachable and very open and so forth. And we've seen how God has opened the door to minister to the Ukrainian people. We have over 2 million Ukrainians have crossed the border because we are neighbor of Ukraine there. We have meeting every week with Ukrainian at our place and conference center. And we started to evangelize them. They're very open. Now, why I'm saying this? I think America has become a mission field. And we've talked Afghani. Then we've talked about Ukrainians, and they're all coming here. And I think you don't even have to go to do evangelism very far away because they are in our backyard. Okay, the next verse there that I put out is Mark 16:15. Go in all the world and preach the gospel of all creation. Go. We can't say, we can't be passive. We have to go. We have to move. We have to understand that our responsibility, wherever we are, shopping center, I do it on the streets. And you know, it's amazing. In the church that I've been serving, we have an elderly lady. She's 90 years old. And you know, she doesn't have it with printing and Xerox and stuff. She writes Bible verses on small pieces of paper. She writes by hand small verses from Scripture. And she goes into town and park and spreads the Word of God on the streets, 90 years old. And some of us are full of health and strong and do nothing. Yeah. It's just amazing when you have the Spirit of God, you understand that you got to go. You can't stay passive. I couldn't, if I would serve in a church and I don't see people coming to know Christ, there's something wrong. I mean, so, or it's not my place there. I can't believe to sit and serve in a church and don't see new believers coming in. People not getting saved. Something wrong, you know. Look at the third verse there. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Again, The responsibility for all of us is to go. Now, only the Holy Spirit will lead you where to go. Maybe you have to go in your relationship with your children. Maybe your relationship with your in-laws. Or maybe relatives. Or maybe neighbors. I can't believe somebody comes to church and never brings his colleagues or friends to church. Or invite them. You know. How in the world, you know, how can I be so passive seeing people going to hell? You know, knowing that they are not going to spend eternity in heaven. Boy, it's painful to see my friends, my colleagues, my relatives unsaved. You know. One important verse, and I hope you underline this verse in your scripture. It is the verse in Ephesians 5:15-17. This verse, and the Lord has been teaching me so much, a lot out of this verse. Be careful now how you live, not as unwise. Be careful how you live your lives, not as unwise, but as wise. And listen to this: making the most of every opportunity. Be careful now how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Make the most, any second, any minute, any opportunity, any day is a gift from the Lord. I came, I was on the plane. I said, what am I going to do here? I just started to speak about Jesus with these people, you know. Share with them, you know what I mean? Find ways to communicate. Make the most of it. Yeah. Now, these are the few verses that I wanted to point out. And mark down especially Ephesians 5:15-17. Because it speaks about the need for wisdom in order to do the will of God. In order to make the most of every opportunity. Sharing Jesus. So, we need the wisdom of God to do the will of God in order to make the most of every opportunity that we have. Okay? Now, if you turn your page now, we are going into, and you know, when I put these thoughts down, do's and don'ts, and how to do evangelism, I thought of mainly what we do on the mission field. And I think that there are some things that I think are very appropriate even here in the States. So, first of all, be properly equipped. Know the scripture. You have to know the word of God. You know. If you don't spend in God's word, it's a problem. Because we have, Satan is going to try to do anything he can, you know, against the truth. We need to be very grounded in scripture and truth. And you know, to me, and even some believers are not, they don't have a handle on the word of God. You know, salvation, righteousness, justification, sanctification, forgiveness, and all this stuff. You know, He is the Lord of peace. He is the bread of life. We need to share who Jesus is. You know, from scripture. And it's really not that complicated. So, first of all, be properly equipped. You have to know your stuff. You have to know the truth to know the scripture. Secondly, be available. Take time. Plan. And make it a priority. I think it's so important. Okay. Okay, that's the one. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Be available. Take time. Plan. Make it a priority. Yeah, I know it's interesting. We're living in a very humanistic world and very materialistic world. We want to make money. We want to build houses. We want to gain this, that, do this. And you know what I mean? You come home, go to work, pay bills. Come and of course, if there is any time, maybe we'll do something for the Lord. If we're not going to be very disciplined, you know, be available, take time. It's a priority. Plan and make it a priority. We are so busy, and you know, it's interesting, most of the stuff we do has temporal value. So, I've read a book, and a title of a chapter in John Calvin's book, Golden Booklet. It's John Calvin was one of the youngest theologians. He wrote the first systematic theology. head of the Reformation. And in one of his booklet, the title was Learning to Live in the Light of Eternity. Learning to Live in the Light of Eternity. Because we are all going to give an account. So be available. Take time. Plan. Make it a priority. Be always ready. Be courageous. Be confident. And remember Jesus' promises. I mean, it's not a church. It's not a religion. It's Christ that mandated us. He's the one that gave us the responsibility. You know, so it's not that a company, not a business that has given us this responsibility. It comes directly from Jesus. You know, so this should be such an encouragement to us. Always ready, courageous, and confident, and remember, I know what I'm doing. This is what Christ wants me to do, you know. And I have to be very serious about it. I have no doubts in what I'm doing. I should. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should. But no. I'm confident. And it comes from Jesus. Jesus is the one that gave me the job to do it. Now, I worked nearly 20 years for the Japanese here as a machinist for Hitachi. Now, the Japanese, you know, Germans are disciplined, but the Japanese, whew, you know, either do it or you're out. It's interesting how disciplined we are in some of our earthly stuff and thinking. We're disciplined, you know, with our time, paying the bills, going to the work, job, do this, and everything else. But when it comes to our responsibility as a child of God, you know what is interesting to me, this COVID stuff, you know, there's so much politics in this. But anyway, the churches have developed the online church now. The internet church, you know. So it's interesting. The COVID is gone, and now people love it to stay online. They like to, and I've seen many churches say, well, we keep do church online. I said, you know, it's interesting. If Jesus would have wanted us to have an online church, he would have done it 2,000 years ago with a million G, not 5G, through the Holy Spirit. But he didn't. Because it's the importance and the importance of the body, the members of the body of Christ. Because we need each other. We have the gifts of the Spirit. We have to be together. You know. So we are responsible. Be realistic, authentic, genuine, sincere and open. People will see you. You know. People, the minute you talk to them, they'll see who you are. Be realistic. Be authentic. Be genuine, sincere, and open. You know. Be humble. Take time to listen. People want to talk. Allow them to talk. You know. And you know, sometimes we have to be so careful because if we come with an air of superiority, people don't listen. But if we are humble and if we are willing to listen, people open up and they share. You know, and gives them an opportunity, you know, to speak up. Be creative. Choose the right timing and location. You know. I think it's so important for us to be creative in how do we approach people. Friends, colleagues, maybe dinners, maybe going out, do things together, invite them, spend time with them. I think it's so important to be able to allow the Spirit to guide us in the way we approach people, in the way we meet people, and how we find the appropriate time and location to be effective. Be sensitive to each individual situation. People, crisis, context. Some people are divorced. Some people are going through problem of alcohol, some people going through some pain, health problems. We need to be so sensitive to the people's problems, you know. You know, we can't save anybody, you know. And we are not called to change anybody's life. We are called to bring people to Jesus. Sometimes we want to change people's life. We're not called to change anybody. We are called to bring them to Christ. So we are called to help them know Christ. You know. Sometimes I've seen people, you know, oh, you're smoking. Oh, no, you're smoking. Oh, you're drinking. It's not our business. Bring them to Jesus. He's the one who's going to change people. He's the one that has the power and the leading of the Spirit to change. You know, sometimes if we try to criticize, you know, and sometimes if we try to point out the negative in their lives, then they'll reject us. You know, we want to change them. Oh, you're smoking. Oh, you're drinking. Oh, you're no. We are called to present our Lord Jesus Christ. He has the power. He is the divine doctor. He has the authority over all and everything. He's the one that changed lives. Be sensitive to each individual situation. Be aware of the cultural and traditional background. Be aware of the cultural and traditional background. Everybody comes from a different, he comes with a baggage. He comes with its culture. He comes, even if he doesn't come from a different culture. You know, I remember when we got married, we were completely different, my wife and I. And I'm glad we are, because if she would have been like me, it would have been trouble. she's more soft. She's more patient. She's, you know. But it's interesting. We come from a different backgrounds, different families, different traditions. And we have to be so sensitive the way we approach people. Sometimes we want people to be like us. No. They don't have to be like us. This form of diversity, you know, God loves us the way we are, with our different status, different abilities, different lifestyles. You know, of course, in the light of Scripture, lived in the light of Scripture. Be aware of the cultural traditional background. If possible, follow up. Continue the work. I think this is one of the most difficult things. Once we share Christ, what's happening afterwards? Do we follow up? Do we continue to meet with the people that we shared Scripture with? Because, you know, maybe they have questions. And that's, we need to build up and need to invest in such a way so they will grow in their knowledge to make a wise decision. So following. Invest in relationships. And I put this one here because it's the most important. If God is a relational God, and relationship is godly, God has communicated this attribute to us. We need each other. We love relation. We have to develop our relationships. If we don't invest in relationships, is a problem. The relationships are the avenue, the bridges for us to share Jesus Christ. And you know, if you've seen, especially in the Western world, we've become so individualistic. Me and I, my stuff, my priorities, my things. How much do we invest in our relationship with those around us? You know, I see some problems, especially even in Europe. Parents don't even spend time with their children, and then they find out they got problems. Oh, have you spent time with your child? Sometimes I speak with the father. Have you taken your daughter out for a coffee or for an ice cream? Have you taken your son and spent time? Have you spending time with your wife, their husband, with relatives? Investing in relationship with your friends, with your colleagues? Yeah. I remember working in the foundry. More than half of my colleagues were Mexicans. So I said, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to learn Spanish. I mean, you know, there's people around me. So that's what I did. How am I going to share Christ with them if I don't speak Spanish? You know. So, how can I develop a relationship if I don't know how to approach them? So I would say sometimes this is one of the biggest problems. If we don't care about people around us, you know, at the shopping center, at the streets, you know, and I stop people and I talk to people, and you know, I find ways to invest so I could develop the trust in the relationship. Yeah. Now, if we turn the page here, okay, that's good. The don'ts, yeah. Okay. don't assume people are ready or willing to listen to or hear the truth. Don't assume people are ready or willing to listen or hear the truth. Some are not ready. Some are not prepared. Some don't even want to. So we need to be very careful in the way we approach people, because some people are just not ready. We assume sometimes that they want to hear. Some people don't want to hear because they don't want to change, because they don't understand the need for change. They don't understand the need for Jesus. They don't understand the need for God, because they're so comfortable in their lifestyle and the way they live their lives. Don't assume people have knowledge of the Bible, God, Christ, and salvation. People don't. Most people don't. You know, it's interesting. We've been meeting every week with Ukrainian refugees, mostly mothers and children. It's awful. And we had family that stayed with us from Kiev with a four-month-old daughter and a son, four-year-old. Her two brothers died in the war. And it's interesting, these people are Eastern Orthodox. They never had a Bible. They never read Scripture. But they are Eastern Orthodox. You know what I mean? They're not practical Christians. When we opened, when we got Ukrainian Bibles and tracts and all that stuff, some of the people, they were crying when they read Scripture like that. You know? Don't assume people know. They don't know about Christ. They don't know about God. I think we are living into a very humanistic world. You know. And this has been happening. You talk to people, they have no clue who Jesus is. Why? They don't understand that Jesus is God. That He's the Savior. He's the only one that can forgive sins. The church can't forgive sins. The Pope can't forgive his own sins. You know. So therefore, if we assume that people don't, even though they are called Christians, they have no clue sometimes. Don't call people to a church or to a religion. No, this is very important. You can't even trust anymore religions and denominations. There are all sorts of religions and denominations. Sometimes you're even afraid to say, I'm a Baptist, because if they show you some of the Baptist churches, you're scared to death. You start to, you know. God is not interested in my religion and in your religion. You know, some people, the minute you share Christ or you want to evangelize, they say, I'm not going to change my religion. God doesn't care about your Pentecostal or Methodist or Episcopalian or Presbyterian or Baptist. No, we don't even have this in Scripture. These are just like political parties. No, we are called to lead people to Jesus Christ. Now, of course, the church is very important. We can't underestimate the importance of the body of Christ. But we are not interested in calling people to a certain religion, you know, or a certain denomination, you know. Don't be proud or self-righteous. Sometimes we think that we are so superior, and we know, and we have. And this could push people away. He give grace to the humble. So it's so important for us to be humble. Don't be aggressive, accusatory, or rude. You know, some people are, you know. Don't be discouraged by rejection or opposition. We are going to be rejected. Jesus was rejected, you know. So we can't expect people to welcome our words. No, they didn't accept Jesus, and they rejected him, and there was opposition, and it's going to be opposition, because the minute, you know, if you don't do anything, there's going to be no opposition. The minute you start to serve the Lord, there's going to be opposition. The minute you start to do something for Jesus, you're going to have opposition. Sometimes in a family, you're going to have opposition, you know, especially, you know, in a family sometimes, if they're not believers. Don't be discouraged if there are no immediate positive results. Don't be discouraged, because it's the Holy Spirit that takes it over. And the Holy Spirit will complete the message. The Holy Spirit will even correct the message. You know, sometimes we want to have results. We want to see people come. No, God is using me, then he's using you, and it brings people in people's lives and as instruments to communicate this grace. Now, this is going real fast through this, but if you have any questions now, we are approaching. If you have any questions concerning ministry in Romania or here, do's and don'ts. Yes, please. They are our daughter. Both of our children, our family has served together. This COVID things have changed stuff. Our daughter has, our daughter graduated from Liberty University and she has been teaching theology of worship in Romania. But then she returned, she came. Our son is leading worship and also the youth ministry. Most people that come to Christ, at least in Romania, by far is the younger generation, from 13 to 25. So our investment, we know. If you start to talk with people in their 40s and 50s, they're respectful, you know. But no. The younger generation are open. So we've seen this last year, over 50, nearly 60 people accepted. Most of them are young, you know. So we focus on our children also serve alongside us. Thank you.
I heard that when you came into California, you were visiting your daughter.
Yes, yes. Because she came ahead of us. She came a couple of years back. You know. Yes.
So she's working in Romania?
No. She is not anymore. She came back, and she has a job, and she is now in Tracy. Yeah, that's what she's been teaching in Romania for 6 years at the theological seminary.
And what about here?
Right here she has a job. She had to look for a job.
She's very open when it comes to scripture. And people with all kinds of problems are attracted to her. And they come and open up to her and share their problems. And she boldly tells them about Christ,
yeah,
and their need to get in the Word and read and know Christ.
Yeah.
Because he's the only one that's going to solve their
problem. But she came back from Romania, and now she stays here. She's also, for right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's also helping us with our prayer letters and with editing and all that stuff.
So. Yeah. But our son serves with us. He is a great help. Yes. Anybody else? Please.
What are some main differences when you're in Romania, you're here, the evangelical church between America and Romania? What are some big differences you see just observing now that you're here, you're there? Are there any big differences?
Yeah, I think there are. Now, when I speak of Romania, Romania was under communism, and people treasure freedom. You know. My grandfather was tortured, arrested, tortured, and sentenced 9 years in prison, hard prison. When you don't have freedom, you treasure that, and you see people are making the most of it. You know. To see the disappointment factor here, I remember. In U.S. here, we had midweek service, and we had morning and evening service. Slowly, no midweek service, no evening service. Sooner or later, probably. But in Romania, midweek service. You know, we have churches that meet on Monday and on Thursday. And you see, they have one day they are praying for America, because America has been a blessing, you know, over the years. So you see the difference. I think in the U.S., people got so used to it, and spiritual things are not a priority anymore. This is the way I see it, you know, and it's disappointing, but I think it's part of the culture, you know. And again, I mentioned about humanism. Man worships man. materialism and humanism conquers our minds and lives. So where you have nations that are poorer, you know, and they get closer to God. You know, they're dependent on God. Well, yeah.
The difference that there is in the Romanian church and the American church is that in America, everything has to go by politics. In Romania, there is a freedom that people have to open up and share and, you know, be...
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, there is a, you know what we found out, in worship? Personal testimonies are powerful. More powerful than even a sermon. You don't see that in the States, though. Everything gets so done that even if Apostle Paul says, you're not on a bulletin. Well, wait, maybe for, you know, maybe for 6 months or so. But powerful, if God has worked in your life and he did miracles, you know, if you come forward and they say, look what happened in my family and my life. I sense, I experience the presence of Christ. That's what's different. You don't really see that often here. You know, so, yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
I appreciate giving me the time. And thank you so much for your prayer support. And we thank God for Sun River, because we've been able to continue the ministry there because of your faithfulness. Yeah. God bless you, and thank you. Yes.